500 years ago, a guy named Hernan Cortez set sail from Cuba, what is today Cuba, for a place called Mexico today. It was the Yucatan Peninsula is where he landed. And it was February 19th of 1519. So that's over 500 years ago. He had an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 sailors. And when he got to the Yucatan, word came that he was ordered back to base by the governor of Cuba because they were having a disagreement over leadership. Also, by the way, the governor of Cuba's daughter was married to this guy, and they didn't care for his son-in-law, I guess. But there were struggles. But to make it worse, they had a plan. They were going to conquer the Aztec Empire. You may have seen some of the things they did as the Aztecs. They were gruesome. They would cut people's hearts out and let them watch them beat before they died. They would sacrifice humans left and right. It was a mess. And to make matters worse, the ratio of men was 7,500 Aztecs to every one Spaniard. That's some pretty tough odds, wouldn't you agree? 7,500 to one. And so when he gets there, Cortez realizes that some of his men are actually loyal to the governor, and he orders, you've heard this before probably, that he orders his ships to be burned, to be destroyed. So there's no way back. They were going to go forward one way or the other. Small force. You know, they went on to begin the process of conquering the Aztec Indians and destroying that. There's a lot of reasons that happens, but the reality is they had a small group and went forward. I want us to look this morning at two parables. They're almost micro parables because they're so short, where seemingly insignificant things make significant differences, like a force of 633 conquering a whole country did. God does take small things and makes a huge difference when we let him work in our lives. Let's look at the first one, and then the second one, and then we'll try to bring it together. So look at verse 31. Jesus, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." What I want you to see is the insignificantly small seed that God can use. This parable is set in a rural setting with a farmer who probably had a garden, because city dwellers don't have gardens for the most part, and they surely wouldn't have room to plant these kind of seeds. And you're going, why? There's been debate about, is it really the smallest seed in the world? It's not. That's not his point. His point is, it's small. If you were to take 21,000 of these seeds and put it in your hand, catch that, you would have an ounce. That's how small it is. But that small seed, once it's planted and watered and cared for, it grows into a tree of a sort. It was a mustard tree. You're going, I'm thinking mustard greens. You're thinking South United States. That's not this seed. This is a different seed, okay? It's a seed that would grow into what we might call a small tree. At its maximum, 20 feet tall. So it's not a massive oak or a pine in East Texas. It's a big plant, but it's big enough that birds can land on its branches and rest. I think I got a picture for you. I had fun with pictures this week. They're the seeds. That's how little they are. And how about the leaf? That's the leaf of this thing. It has little seeds and it grows. That's where how it reproduces. And that this tree has also been called a toothbrush tree. You're going, what? Think back to ancient days. If you didn't go down to the Walmart and pick up a Crest toothpaste brush or toothpaste, for that matter, how did you clean your teeth? They use this kind of stuff to clean their teeth. That's insignificant here, but I don't want to get hung up on the size of the seed or what they used it for. What I want you to understand is in ancient Israel, this was a plant, when it grew full size, was big enough for birds to get in its limbs and stand there. And so from a very small seed comes what? A plant that's big enough to make a difference. And the big idea I think I want you to see, and I think he's trying to communicate to us, is this. What begins as a small moment will, with the inherent power of the item, become something bigger and greater and more powerful. it's not really the soil that makes it happen, though its soil is important. And it's not necessarily how much water is given to it, though water is important. What happens is that little micro seed planted in the ground grows into something that is bigger than you could have ever imagined coming from that little bit. And that's what I want you to see this morning about faith. God takes the small and turns it into great things. He wants to do that in our lives. Listen to what Paul said. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human could boast in their presence of God." What we find is this: God takes insignificant little things and uses them in his kingdom. He takes the power of the small and changes them into something great. And you're going, what's he talking about here? I think he's talking about us, his people. He takes us with our flaws and our struggles and our difficulties and our hardships and our messes and our, y'all with me? All the stuff that we struggle with. And he takes it and says, "I'm going to plant within you myself this seed, and it's going to grow in your life and transform you into what you need to become, and that you can do those things not to get the glory and the praise for yourself, but turn around and say, 'God, look what you're doing in our lives.'" Much like the testimony we heard this morning of how God works even when things are hard. But the reality is this: that is true in our lives when we say yes to God. When we say, "Yes, God, I'll follow you. Yes, God, I'll hear your voice. Yes, God, I'll surrender to you. Yes, I'll give to you who I am. I'll turn over my life and let you move me forward." And we might find ourselves on a beach with some burning ships behind us along the way because of what he's doing in us. So that's one parable. Let's look at the other parable. It's in verse 33. See, micro parables are kind of short. And Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like what? Leaven. You want a different translation for that word? Call it yeast if you want to. Same kind of thing. It's the idea of what causes bread to rise. That a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, a few years ago, I still do it occasionally when the kids call and they're coming in and they go, "Daddy," they call me Daddy. "Daddy, will you make Daddy-O's pizza?" None of y'all have been blessed with Daddy-O's pizza. Do you know why? Because it's a lot of work to make. I make one batch of dough. I use a bread machine to help me make it. But I'm going to tell you, it is on me to put the right ingredients in to make it happen. Y'all with me? You start with some water. You put a little water in the bottle. I can almost do the recipe from memory. I've done it so many times in my life. You put water in. I think it's 3 cups of water, if I correctly remember. No, it's not. It's 3 cups of flour. Anyway, then you put flour in, then you put some oil in, and then you put a little yeast. Not a lot, a little. We'll see the problem with putting too much yeast in a minute, but a little yeast you put in there, and then you put the machine together, and you let it go, and it makes it in 90 minutes. I pull it out, and I have to finish working it, and I turn it into something I hope is delicious. At least the kids say it is. Maybe they're just being nice to old daddy, but they love having that. So what he's talking about is this idea that you have a mustard seed in one parable, and you have the positive aspects of yeast in another, and it is a very small ingredient in a baking process. But is it important? Absolutely. When one looks at the ingredient list for a bread-based recipe, it is usually the least amount of stuff you're going to put in, but without it included, what happens? The yeast, the bread, the dough never rises. It doesn't expand. It doesn't produce. It doesn't grow. It transforms, the yeast does. It transforms the whole. And that's how the presence of the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to be in our lives. He places within us his presence, and it is small at the beginning. It doesn't take but the faith of a child to trust Christ, right? We start out beginning with very little, and then he begins to work it in our lives, and it begins to multiply and expand and grow and change the nature of us along the way. That's how the gospel works. It's relatively obscure and hidden within us, and yet it changes us, what, from the inside out. It's an invasive. When you mix it in the correct ways, it becomes something else. Years ago, there was a TV show, some of y'all may remember it, called I Love Lucy. Do y'all remember that show? And those of you who are younger, you've missed out. That show came out in the 1950s. I hate to tell y'all this, that's 70-something years ago. Wow. I watched it in reruns. I'm not old enough to have watched it when it first came out. But you've probably seen the show. I love that show. I love Lucy. She was so funny. She could do the physical and the comedy in ways that you could not imagine. Well, there was one episode that really kind of sticks in my head, and I started researching it. And it was one where she was, I guess they were trying to save money, and she was going to make her own bread. Y'all remember that one? Oh, yeah. How'd that go? She got a lot. She did not know the right quantities to mix together, and so she begins to put it together. Y'all remember the episode now? And she sticks it in the oven, and what happens? Here's what happened. She got bread. Now, I don't know how they made it look like that coming out of the oven, because it would not have cooked in there correctly. But it was comedy, and so it was okay. And it wasn't reality. It was a television show. But I want you to catch something from that silly image. Without the yeast, what would have happened? Nothing. Without the presence of Christ in our lives, what happens? Oh, y'all get the picture. Good. Spiritual yeast is necessary for us to grow in Christ, for us to be transformed, and to see God's kingdom set loose in our lives. Can you imagine the expansion of the gospel on this planet? You know, it started with Jesus calling how many guys? 12. And how much power do they have in life? Almost none. They were nobodies. And yet from those 12 men, it's gone on to be a faith that has reached literally billions because of the presence of Christ in the lives of his believers. He leads us through it. And that's what makes Christian faith different from false religions of the world, is they don't have the presence of Christ, but we do. And it transforms us on the inside out. So I got to thinking, how do we bring those two together? And I haven't done this in a couple weeks, but I'm going to do it today. I want to give you three thoughts here. The inspiration to live fully in Christ. The first one is this. When you think about a mustard seed and you think about yeast, in and of themselves, they're just inert. If you hold the seeds of a mustard seed in your hand, what good is it? Nothing. Something has to happen with the seed, right? How about the yeast? If you don't include it in the recipe, what happens? Nothing. I've done that before. I come back an hour and a half later thinking I've got dough being made. I look in and it's just a soup. And I go, oh my goodness, I forgot the yeast. Without that ingredient, it doesn't work, right? That's the same thing for us. And that's the inspiration we have to live fully. Whether it's a mustard seed or yeast in a batch of dough, they indicate the power to change comes not from the person, but comes from the ingredient added to their lives. The seed in the ground, the yeast in the dough. And the actor in both parables is not the one being acted upon, but rather the change agent comes from where? Outside. And transform them. As God calls to people like you and me, he implants in us what? His presence. He places within us a mustard seed, an amount of yeast, if you will, and it changes us and transforms us from the inside out to become what he wants us to become. And that should not drive us to arrogance, going, oh, I'm special, though you are, but rather to go, God, thank you for giving me the seed of faith, for placing within me the yeast of the Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul told to the church at Philippi. He said this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? And I would have underlined this next section for you. For it is God who works in you. It is who works in me? It is God who works in you. Why? Both to will and to work for our good. That's not what it says. He works for what? His pleasure. His good pleasure. He wants to work in us to bring about some of the greatest things you could never imagine. And if you've trusted Christ as Savior, he has implanted within you a mustard seed of faith. He has implanted within you a yeast to grow in the Spirit. And you are just now waiting for him to do that work. And you just have to work it out with him. To work out your salvation. To say, yes. What's next, God? What's the next step? What's the next action? What's the next place? What's the next place to serve? How can I do that? See, God wants to work in each of us to bring about things that you and I could never imagine. And it's one we have to make. Second, we've also got to have some expectation. That was live humbly if I didn't say it first. The next one is this, is to expect expansion. Now, I'm going to tell you, every time I've made pizza dough, and that's the only time I ever make it, I think I've made rolls once or twice, and I don't like to eat, I don't need to eat rolls, so I don't make them. I'll leave it at that. But when I make that dough for the kids, I expect what? Expansion. I expect something to happen. Why? Because when you put those ingredients together, something is going to change. Something is going to be different. Nobody plants a seed and goes, I hope nothing comes from this. And nobody adds yeast to a recipe and goes, I hope it doesn't rise. We expect something. That's what I want you to catch in our lives. As we follow God, we ought to live, and we need to live, and we should live, and let's choose to live with an expectation that says, God, I believe that you've placed within me your faith, and you're going to bring about something good through it. Say, yes, God. Don't look for the bad. Don't look for the negative. Don't look for the problems. Don't look for the issues. Look for what God is going to accomplish through you. Does that mean there won't be issues, problems, struggles? Of course there will be. We deal with them as they come along. But ultimately, the focus is not on the bad, but on what God's goodness is in our lives. And expect him to work in us. You know, he places within us his Holy Spirit. Not to make us feel bad, but to guide us into the righteousness and goodness for his sake. Let's live that way. Here's what Paul told the churches at Asia, Peter told the churches at Asia Minor in his second letter. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Do you remember the moment you trusted Christ? Do you remember when you said, yes, God, I want to follow you. Yes, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Yes, I want you to come into my life and change me. He didn't go, well, I'll check on it later and let you know if I'm going to do that or not. He did it. In that moment, if you trusted him in faith, he placed within you his presence through the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe that? He placed it within you. And you know, now what do? I've got to either water it, or I've got to encourage your yeast through some heat. That's what makes it activate. Or not. Because if you don't water the seed, what happens? Nothing. If you don't put some heat to the oven or let some time in the yeast and then put it in the oven, what happens? Nothing. Or you put too much yeast and you get the picture we saw a minute ago. There's a balance in there. The call I think I want you to catch is this. We are called to be people who are watering our souls. Watering our lives, going, God, I want to listen to you. I want to hear from you. That's why I believe so much in small groups and Bible studies, is you get involved with some people and you get to know them and you have a relationship with them. You know, I love coming to worship. Don't misunderstand. But there's not much circle communication that goes on in a sitting like this. You listen to a guy talk for 20 or 30 or hopefully no more than that minutes. And then you head home, right? And hopefully you get something from it. But really, the blessings are found when we get in circles with other believers and live life together. And we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And let the Spirit mature us. One more thought, and I'll be done. You've got to experience the call. Now let's get a little metaphysical here. You ready? So we've got our ingredients for dough mixed in the bowl, working it together. I've got the yeast in the container. I keep it in the freezer so it doesn't go bad, right? It's over here. And the bowl looks over at the yeast and goes, am I getting some of that? I told you it was metaphysical here. And the East goes, no, I'm not going to give it to you. That would be weird, wouldn't it? That's the whole purpose of yeast. Yeast by itself is gross, right? Take a bite of it sometime. Y'all with me? But that's not the thing. The yeast sits over there and goes, yes, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm willing to change your life. Oh, y'all getting the picture? That's the Holy Spirit of God standing at the side of our lives going, yes, I will come into your life. Yes, I will transform you. Yes, I will change you to be what you're supposed to be. And in that moment, when we say yes, we experience the call of God to work in our lives. How can a person claim to be part of the body of Christ and not know God? How can they experience the peace that passes all understanding until they actually experience the Prince of Peace, my friends? And the answer is this, they can't. So maybe you're here today and you go, oh, I've never experienced the yeast of God. I've never experienced the mustard seed growing in my life. Then maybe the day is to do it. The day to do it. Because that's the kingdom of God works in ways that we just don't understand. We come along and go, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And God says, no, I'm here for you. Listen to what Jesus said in the book of John. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We could debate that until the cows come home. But basically what he's saying is this, I have an invitation for you to follow me. I'm calling to you. I'm drawing you to me. And we respond to him. So have you responded to Christ? Have you said yes to his kingdom? Have you experienced the power of the small in your life? The mustard seed and the yeast of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your blessings that grow from the small things that you place in us. And I pray, God, that as we consider how to respond to these words, these short parables, that, God, we would ask ourselves, have I experienced your presence? Or am I playing a game? Am I trying to do it on my own? Or am I letting you do it in me? Like the Spirit does is the yeast in dough or the mustard seed grows into something big enough for birds to hang into. We pray your blessing as we respond to you this day. We pray your hand would be on us as we think about where we are and what we need to see happen in our lives. And we give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.